Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Good morning, baby.
Good morning. So apparently, when I put in today's show, for some reason, it said 6:30.
Oh,
which
no, ma'am.
Normally does not, that usually doesn't even show up as an option that is bolded in.
Oh.
So it's weird, but
those a lot of things, so we're okay.
Yeah. And I got a notice on my Facebook page from Marguerite. And she was like, "Are you doing a show at 6:30 a.m. today?"
Oh.
I just saw it.
No.
I'm like, no.
We'll do the show in our imaginations.
Right.
Well, we're asleep.
So.
No, girl, no.
Yeah, but I see that she is in the chat room, so thanks. Thanks, Raven.
Thank you.
For
looking out.
For that. You know, I mean, I was able to, I think what I did was I changed the name of the show a little bit.
Oh.
So instead of saying The Lois Effect with Liz and Alisa, it just says The Lois Effect. So maybe that tricks it into.
Yeah, that's better. The Lois Effect. You want to know who's co-hosting? Listen to the show, damn it. It's just us.
Wow.
My goodness. What was the first name of, this is not a good time to ask trivia questions, but I know we were the LOA blend, but I feel like we had a name before that.
We were the morning blend.
Right.
The
LOA morning blend.
The LOA morning blend, I think.
Maybe. LOA morning blend, then LOA blend. Then
the Some of You Show.
Some of You Show, and now The Lois Effect. Anyway, three things you're grateful for. Go.
I'm thankful for Marguerite and
yes.
for the ability to redo a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for, again, getting some good sleep. I'm surprised.
Thank God.
And then,
great. That's good.
Yeah. And then also grateful for listening to my body. And
very, yes.
And
excellent.
getting the things that I need, not just rest, but
okay,
just knowing
you're
like.
You're cutting out a little bit. Well, you're cutting out a lot.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's not to apologize, but when you were mentioning the third thing you're grateful for, I don't think any of us heard any of it.
Well, just grateful for being able to listen to my body.
Yes. Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're not cutting out now, so hopefully that was a temporary thing. Okay, so three things I am grateful for upon this morning. Grateful for getting to sleep. Sometimes it's just weird with the sleep. It's so hit or miss. Grateful that grateful for minimal tossing and turning. I'm grateful for the awareness, sis. What's the plural of awareness? My IQ plummets every day with this corona situation. Awarenesses? Aware or just awareness? Whatever. Grateful for the things that I'm becoming aware of in all of this. And I'm going to talk about that in a second because it's tied into a little bit of restless sleep that I kind of moved through. So we'll get to that in a second. And the third thing I'm grateful for lemons. And I say that because every morning, religiously, even before my coffee, so you know, with I got Colombian DNA running through my blood, which is coffee. that really shows how important this is. Every morning before I have my coffee, I have 3 slices of lemon. I squeeze them in very hot water, and I drink it every day as a consistent means of boosting my immune function. I think it's so important. You're inside, you're outside, you're in between. It doesn't matter. Part of managing what the world is managing right now with this pandemic is, like you, I think what you said, listening to your body, so important. This is not the time to push through anything. And high immune function, maintaining high immune function. So I'll just circle back a little bit for the second thing I'm grateful for was getting to sleep and the awarenesses with that. We can have so many revelations. And who knows, maybe Lois has something to do with prompting me to discuss this. I don't know, because I think it's every time we do a show, there's more of a merging of the energies. It's weird. Whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what to tell you.
No, that makes sense.
Okay, does it? Okay, because I don't know nothing. Okay. So with all of this awareness, all of this self-care, all of this taking the opportunity to go within, understand, heal the neglected, unhealed parts of ourselves, all of that. So, again, I'm no physicist or mathematician, but there's physics and math. You see, this is where Lois is coming in, because I never bring this stuff up. Okay. So there's... bitch. So there's physics and math and molecular structures, and there's a structure that mimics the universe behind all of this. Okay, this is something I normally wouldn't speak of, so this makes perfect sense that this is like some merging stuff. So in the experience of sleep, is it restful sleep? Will you get to sleep easily? Every night we never know. You know, sometimes many of us need to self-medicate to get to sleep. I fortunately don't rely on that, although I do like CBD oil, but I've been taking that for years. It's not even anything, oh, I'm going to use this because I'm an insomniac. No. I think like you, we kind of face things head on, even when it comes to the sleep thing, because we know it's yes, we wish we could sleep, or our patterns of sleep will shift a lot. And I think part of that shift is also the other side of that equation. So we have that one side where we're taking the time. If we're not an essential worker, and I have to say, I need to shout out the essential workers, because they are so underappreciated, so underpaid, so underserved, so not acknowledged, getting the same pay. So many of them aren't even getting hazard pay. I think they all should get hazard pay, and I think they all should get like vacation, like when things kind of shift to the other side of the fence here. And I know none of that's going to happen, and it's heartbreaking. So for those of us that are not on the front lines, which is most of us, and they're in the minority, so they're going to see these. So when they're home after their shifts, and after they sterilized themselves, and after they played Russian roulette on the job, okay, and they come home, they dispose of their gloves and their clothes and their, you know, whatever. They separate their clothes to be laundered. They take a shower. They wash their hands for the 500th time. They can barely, you know, muster getting some food together. There are zombies in front of the TV, and then unless they're watching, like, streaming or premium cable, they're going to see all these Corona commercials of all these people home dancing around.
Right.
And on Zoom and on this and on that. Again, here we go with our disparity. And
right.
I've been really thinking about it. I think about it a lot throughout the day. I also am getting to know somebody who works. Well, I know a few people who work at hospitals, but I'm getting to know somebody right now who is a hospital, who works in a hospital, but in a mental, in the mental health wing, but you still work in a hospital. And they just got tested. Thank God it's negative. But what I'm hearing about the hospital, now this is New York, so it could be all over the world, but what I'm hearing about the New York City hospital system, it's devastating. So for those of us that the essential workers can watch on TV and then they get up, I mean, talk about dreading to go to work. It's one thing, it's different, especially if you're, it depends on who you're serving, I suppose. So I guess you, it's a spectrum of your point of view, how you're going to feel about it, et cetera. For this particular person's point of view, it's just, it's becoming very clear that it's not worth it. But what can this person do? Because you can't even take off work. You can't even take off work. You have to have a doctor's note. You can't even take a mental health day. Bad. Like how strict, how, I feel how unjustly many essential workers are being treated. So they come home and they see these public service announcements and they see these warm and fuzzy Target commercials and everybody's like dancing around in Zoom and baking bread and families together and they're like, well, not me. So as we are the fortunate majority, okay, and the fortunate majority, although finances are shaky at best or what have you, there really is not much that we can do about it. So as we are here reflecting, and there's a lot of good coming from that reflection and that introspection and that listening of the body, mind, spirit, and soul and the healing of the unhealed, neglected wounds and the walking through, hopefully, stepping through as it happens in real time, the instant karma. I tell everybody I talk to, even people who don't know I do this podcast or don't, I don't share the depth of my spiritual focus that I've had my whole, you know, since I'm like 11, like you, right? Even with people that I don't share that aspect, I'm very open to say to anybody that I'm connected to that, be very aware of the explosive nature of karmic issues that are happening. So, and then with all the good, all the reflection, all the growth, all the wisdom, all the understanding, all the changing of the diet, all the ramping up the activity, all of those things. So it's a mixed bag because the awareness that I came to in wanting to fall asleep, and sometimes I'm really lucky and I'm so worn down by everything that it happens quite easily, or as is in many of the much of the time, it may not be so easy to really shut down to fall asleep, and I found myself feeling some residual anxiety and the not really the floodgates, but I feel like a portal was opening of memories, not buried memories, just memories of things I and people and circumstances and situations, some traumatic, that I haven't thought about in such a long time, years, decades even in some cases. And I realized that I had a choice, that I could go down a rabbit hole of undoing, right? Because we could undo all that progress by really buying into the anxiety that was rising up. When I looked through that anxiety, I saw that it led to these memories. When I looked through those memories, I realized, oh, of course, this is the opportunity for those memories to really clear out, to move through me and then go behind me, because I honor all the memories, especially the tough ones. They go right behind me. I know where they are, and I thank them.
Mm.
So that's why I'm thankful for the awareness that's rising up in trying to fall asleep, and how the anxiety shift to awareness shift into release. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's a yielding that we need to do. And that's coming from Lois. It's a yielding. I don't know if I would have used that word, so, but that makes it's a good word. I'm glad that it's a yielding.
I think doing these masterminds that Anna has been doing with us, or the smaller group.
Yes. Absolutely.
Sort of a test for her, her next big thing.
Yeah.
I think that's the sort of stuff, those memories, because when we go through those calls and we go through the little prompts, those memories definitely come up as we are working to clear things, like coming, we come up with these different blocks, not like you have to come up with it, like it comes up.
It comes up, right.
These blocks come up and then everything kind of vibrationally, these memories that will connect to whatever the big block is. And
right.
It's because you're, you know, what she's making you go through is a way of saying, okay, these are things that I know I've felt. And for whatever reason, these things are keeping me, you know, they're just stuck. They're stuck in place. And a lot of times it's because we may not have made that connection. So we may have thought, like, oh, I thought I worked on that already. I cleared that.
Right.
And then what happens is you may have been thinking of one particular instance instead of, you know, maybe every time that you've felt, you know, not good enough or abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you
right.
know, so these are, some of them are really deep. I think last night was a really deep, a deep clean. And the beauty of it is that we're not sharing like exactly what it was that we were focusing on. It's very individual. But
right.
the prompts are the same, and you just let your, she calls it your superconscious, you know, higher self, so to speak, maybe, but superconscious. Let's that clear it, like make sense of what's going on. Oh, that's also, that happens to also be in the field. And so this yielding means that you're not trying to actively suppress it or unconsciously suppress it. You let the memories come up because you're in a safe space, because you're objectively looking at it. You're like, okay. Yeah. That's there. Like, oh, that's there. And it is interesting because she has said that you know, it doesn't just end right at this, you know, it continues until the next, gathering, until the next time we all
right.
do this.
Right.
So I'm not surprised that these things are, they're all kind of lining up during this time where, because we're not on those front lines necessarily, not running in a job where you're going to run into a lot of people and a lot of them are going to be sick, especially so focused in a hospital.
My God.
So, you know, that is the flip side, is that there are people who, because of their professions, and not all of it's medical, you know, but those are the ones that are, that have the highest risk of getting it, of getting something that will, you know, the same thing that they're trying to help alleviate.
I know. This is why I don't even want to do delivery. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my God. Like,
sure. Sure. And yet the thing is, you know, and yet it wouldn't make much sense for us for those of us who are aware that, you know, life is going to go on. If you die, life is still going to go on.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So bigger picture is, you know, you look at what can you do.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we go from the outside in. We're like, what can we do to help others? Result, you know, very nice. You know, what can we do to help our family? What can we do to help ourselves?
Right.
And then when we finally get to that point, I think what happens is the people who tend to help a lot of others first, sometimes at the detriment to
right.
themselves.
Yep.
They are now in this position where they can't do that.
Right.
Like, they can't put their energies outward.
Right.
And they can no longer ignore things that they really need to take care of for themselves. That there's an opportunity there that they cannot pass by.
Right.
Now, they may not be able to go as deep as probably they could have, but, you know, whatever the timing is, that's the timing. And then there are people who are pretty much, you know, they're all about themselves.
Yeah.
You know? And, and you know, maybe they're in a particular job where, because of the repetition of it, maybe not because it's exactly the same thing every day, but the pressures are exactly the same. Now they have to refocus.
Yeah.
Because they can't take it for granted. They can't just phone it in. You know, there's high pressure. There's incredibly high pressure now, but it's they're seeing where their part, like, whatever they can do to really stay focused is going to help. Now, they're definitely there. So if you're that doctor, if you're that healthcare worker, you're already used to dealing with some degree of crazy pressure.
Yeah.
And crazy, you know, guidelines and
mm-hmm.
extremely strict things that you have just by the nature of what you do.
Right.
And now there's even more pressure, and now not you know, now we have certain things where equipment's not there or just basic things aren't there or
right.
Yet you're still expected to be the super person to just do it,
mm-hmm.
and so what I'm getting is, you know, they can only do that for so long, and then other things want to come up that will allow for people to take a break, to rest, to, you know, whatever, however that's going to show up, I don't know. But I feel like even with that, it's meant to push ourselves to the limit for those who kind of, that's what they get off on. It's like, you know, I've been able to do this. And there are people who are like adrenaline junkies and they like
right.
that kind of stuff.
It's true. Right.
And so, you know, which is very different from me. It's not, I'm like adrenaline. I probably need to buy a little bit of that. So, you know, but there are some people that's how their mindset is. And now this is more than just, you know, it's more than having to do your job really well. It's also the fear that everyone else around you is feeling, and not just at work, but at home. It's really having to, they're having to do a lot more, definitely. I think they're having, they may be overloaded to try to do more. I'm sure there are plenty of people in that profession who also have a very strong spiritual side and would love to have a break. So now they're having to figure out ways,
right,
really clever ways, to still take care of themselves and do the job and take care of their, you know, their families, or deal with not having a family, maybe because they were trying to take care of the job, you know?
Right.
In our group who joined in our group, our mastermind group last night, was someone who lives by herself. And so this isolation has really been difficult for her. She doesn't have anybody else. She has pets, I think. And it was really starting to get to her, how alone she felt. And so her cry for help led for one of her friends who is in our mastermind group to invite her.
That's so nice. This must have been after I left.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
I think so. We're finding, the image I'm getting is of like a crock pot, you know, like a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't realize it's a pressure cooker, but the only way is to find like a crack or something that'll alleviate that pressure. And that those are like little portals, like you talk about portals. Those are opportunities to go to another place, to escape in a sense, but to be out of that pressure cooker and to find a release, to find a way to change where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that that's where you're going, like, all right, I'm aware I'm leaving this because you're looking, like you're looking for a way. And you will find it. It's just, being able to withstand wherever you are in a moment, in any moment, and then find opportunities, find where those opportunities are. So when people don't like a situation, we tend to, we'll complain about it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll blame everybody. Right. We'll go through all these different things. We'll blame everybody else.
Different narratives. Yeah.
Right. And then now it's like, now we're in such an extreme situation, which isn't, it's extreme, but it's not. If I could use my own, because like I'm, for people who are kind of like, oh, it's okay to be, by myself, or, it's not, so every introvert I know is like, I don't mind staying at home. Like they're fine. They're fine at home. They're fine working from home. But then every so often they miss being able to hang out with family. Or to have that little bit of socialization. Like they do miss that. They
mm-hmm.
do miss maybe being able to eat out and have a good meal with some friends.
And
then they're good with going back home, and it's like, okay, I'm good. Like I'm good for
right.
I'm good for another
dose.
2 weeks
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Right. Now for other people who that's not the norm, and they need to be around other people.
At the club.
At the club.
The concert.
When they are staying home, when they have to stay home, and chances are these people do have people around them, then they're dealing with all the stuff that they never looked at, that they didn't want to look at.
Exactly.
They're dealing with how they work with other people, how they don't work with other people. So when you're in that situation and you're looking at, oh, well, it's someone else's fault because, he always does this or she always does that. All of a sudden you're seeing, hopefully you're seeing where you're in all of that is, like your participation in it. And, the words that you use, the energy you put out there, your intentions or your, your thoughtlessness in a sense, say, oh, I always say that. Like, oh, I didn't realize that,
right.
You know, I didn't realize that that's how it comes off.
Right.
And the reason some people realize that is because now they're seeing it repeated every day, several times a day. It's like a call and response. And every time this happens, and this is, every time I say this, this is what happens. And when we get to that point where we realize, if I say something different, then what happens? It's like a little experiment.
Right.
I think so. And this stuff doesn't happen overnight. You know, it may take 37 days. It may take
right.
however many days it takes. But these are those opportunities to be able to change. And some people will be up for it to some degree. And then some people are just going to continue to shut down until it gets to a point where they need to be up for it in whatever way that is. And so there will be some bit of relief. I just know that it's going to happen. I don't know how, don't know when. But everyone has a point, and they will figure out ways, because if you live in a high adrenaline environment, what I'm describing will be very different for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be like after you pass out because you're so tired that in that dream state you come, you know, you are shown like this magnificent story of your life, and then you, you know, it's like having the Christmas story, you know, in one dream, and you're like, oh, it's
right.
like this, you know, I need to be better, and you know, let me come more from my heart. It could be something like that. I don't know. But everyone has that opportunity. You know, everybody. Also, what I'm getting is, you know, we do get caught up in whatever story is being presented to us, in whatever story we want to buy into.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make you wrong. It just, you know, maybe you're a great team player, and that's great. I think it means also having to look a lot deeper, not necessarily trying to uncover other people's, you know, untruths or half-lies or whatever. But maybe as you do that, you go within as well. Like, where have you also done that? And why would that be the case? You know, what would be the purpose in only showing or highlighting this aspect of this situation versus all the other aspects, versus the bigger picture? When have we done that? You know, when do we, you know, we don't show everybody, you know, warts and all, everything all the time, 24/7. You know, we don't do that. Most people don't ever want to be that vulnerable. And most people don't want to be figured out by somebody else, you know, only to the degree that you want someone to figure you out. So we still need to know who we are. Like, we still need to really know what makes us tick versus what sets us off.
Right. Right. That's very well said. What makes us tick versus what sets us off.
Right. I think we pretty much know, we can always state usually very clearly what our preferences are, or maybe not even that. Maybe we can state very clearly what we don't like.
Yeah, we know what we don't want.
Mm-hmm. I think we're really good.
Yeah.
We're really good at that. And after we get tired of that, because at some point someone's going to ask, or a situation is going to come up, and it's going to say, well, what is it that you want? What do you like?
Right.
And I myself have been stumped with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about, well, I prefer pumpkin pie versus, you know, cherry pie. You know, it's not that. It's not even, it goes so much deeper. But sometimes it is that simple. In other people's viewpoints, you know, but it is that simple. For others, asking what you do want is almost like, well, no one's ever asked me that before. Or
right.
I don't think people really care. And no one should care more than you.
Right.
Yet if you never ask yourself that and you never take the time to
right.
answer,
right,
then it's no wonder that someone else's narrative can be the narrative for you until you realize
that's right.
However much time has passed that
right.
That wasn't well, that really wasn't what I wanted.
You know? It's making me think of this is so this is such a low rent response. But what it made me think of, okay, back in the good old days when, you know, being on this show, we used to talk about my misadventures in dating. Mm-hmm. Haven't really talked too much about that. But one thing that I've noticed, okay, being on two little apps that are they're like the two of the least popular apps, which is perfect for me because there's not a lot going on, and that's all mm-hmm. I can handle. But in the little bit of activity, because I'm doing this as a social experiment, in the little bit of activity that I've noticed over the last couple of months, pre-virus and during the virus a little bit, a question that if I even get into the situation that there's even like messaging back and forth, all of it, it's very, very rare. It's more entertaining, like, oh God, no. Mm-hmm. And then I throw the phone across the room and I'm like, thank God I'm single. So it's interesting. And it goes into flames. I'm like, thank God I'm single. So it's more out of curiosity, more because I haven't dated since I'm 24 years old and it's a whole new world and it's just curiosity and really self-knowledge for me. So I don't really interact on these things, but I observe and I learn and I'm growing from this and it's a whole new world, as I said. So in the very rare occasion that I might interact on a messaging platform, the question that always gets asked first by the guy, so I'm very passive on this, by choice, is what are you looking for? And I think that makes, so for what you're saying, I know what I don't want. We really don't talk about what we do want. And I think it's been interesting that a couple of times, I've been asked that. I think I had that interaction maybe twice with two different people. Okay. So this is how minimal my participation is with these things. But these were two people that I thought, okay, they seem sane and intelligent and interesting, whatever, somewhat attractive, whatever. And I don't remember my exact response, but I recall responding something like, that's a really good question. I think I said something like, I'm not looking to get married again. Remember? So that's funny how you said that, right? We know what we don't want. I'm not looking to get married again. And I said something like, I suppose I'm looking for a potential meaningful connection with someone. And they can figure out what meaningful means. Like meaningful in the bedroom? No. but meaningful of, you know, what an intelligent person would... Meaningful in, you know, the bondage situation? No. It depends what meaningful means to you, but... And I appreciated that at the gate, I was asked that. And then I was talking to someone who is on, to a guy who is on many apps. I'm like, you're a hoe with the apps, but whatever. I think this person is on like six apps. The fact that I'm on two, I feel like a hooker. They're on six apps, and... I said, so I like hearing like the guy's perspective. And I said, yeah, I noticed like that's a question, you know, at the gate, like they ask, you know, what are you looking for? And he's like, well, yeah, of course, guys want to know, like, okay, is this going to be about sex? What is this going to be about? I'm like, okay, good to know. Good to know. What are you looking for? And I can only imagine what the spectrum of what those responses would be. And I thought, well, this is why I like the whole, like, dating experience for self-knowledge, not really to I mean, look, if I end up having, you know, a gentleman caller, I'm not mad at that. But that's not the end game. That's not the objective. Just what I'm learning about myself is enough for right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, that's good, because you know what? So to your point, we do need to be clear about what we want. We have to be clear. What is it that we're looking for? I'm like, and good for these guys. They're like, let's get down to business. What are you looking for? I'm like, oh shit. Okay. Okay. All right. Oops. Okay. Oh, it's like that. Okay. What are you looking for? Okay. And then the other fascinating thing is when you look at the suggested matches, that it's all algorithm, right? And again, I'm on apps where those things are at a minimum, so I'm not catalog shopping. Like, it's done in like 5 minutes, because it's very minimal. This is why the two apps I am on are very unpopular, or they're not as popular as the more well-known ones, and that's very deliberate. Because it's serving its purpose in terms of, like, this social experiment, or this understanding of the self. And then if I meet somebody nice, okay, mm-hmm. that's a bonus. But it's really fascinating how the algorithm will match you up with potentials, right? And my rule of thumb is if somebody doesn't like me first, I'm not going to like them back. I'm not, and it's not an issue of feminism. It's an issue of, I really consider myself more of an observer than a participant. So if I'm going to even think about participating, somebody got to make the first move, because mm-hmm. I'm not really looking for someone to get together with unless it's an exceptional situation. So those are sort of like my filters. So as I'm learning and entertaining myself, because there was a picture of this guy who could have been somebody's grandfather. And so there's a picture, he's like, you know, I think one picture he has like a business suit on. The last picture, and I don't know what the point of this was, and he looked kind of normal, like somebody you would see, you know, in daily life. You wouldn't really pay too much, a middle-aged business person.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, too, I put my age bracket in the 50s, and I applaud myself for that, because I could have put myself younger, and I'm like, nope.
Right.
No, and that's another filter, because they see a 5, they're going to run for the hills, you know, or they might think my pictures are old or whatever. My pictures are all current. Like, I have pictures I don't have makeup on. I'm like, no, this is it. It's not that I'm trying to look bad. It's like, this is, again, self-knowledge. This is unfiltered who I really am.
Right.
You're going to get it and appreciate it, or you're not. But the priority is I am learning about myself, so it really doesn't matter. Okay, so I'm looking at the pictures. I'm scrolling. The last picture, he has his entire foot shoved into his mouth.
What?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. So this is how we learn.
Ooh.
Okay. And I'm like, all right. Okay. Good. Not good to know. That. Okay. Special skills. Okay. Okay. When you see your career counselor, make sure you mention that. Okay. Very good. Good. And I swear to God, the phone burst into flames. My phone burst into flames, like, you know, every other day. And I'm like, oh my God. And this looks like it's probably somebody's grandfather, you know, because when they see a 5, it's so sexist. When they see a 5 in the algorithm, like for what you put, like your age, when they see that 5, and it's you you're going to get, you know, and it's impressive. You see some people, you know, in their 50s and their 60s, they look really, 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 really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could put settings. So I think in my settings, I put like where the algorithm could go of, you know, what age range, what's the youngest, what's the oldest. So I think I put like late 40s to early 60s, I think.
Mm. Right.
Right. You know, I'm comfortable in that space, somewhat younger, a little older. Okay. And then the other day, very distinguished gentleman, again, not my type at all, but a very distinguished gentleman, I think an attorney. And again, I'm curious. I'm not attracted to any of these people, but I read the profiles, I look at the pictures. I'm just learning. It's weird. I'm looking at it more objectively than subjectively, especially if it's people that I would never think twice about. If it's a particular guy that seems like, wow, if I was, excuse me, at an event or a party, you know, and they were like at the buffet table, whatever, I might sashay away with my plate, you know, and mosey on over there. But that's very rare. So most of the time, it's just observation mode. So there's this guy, distinguished attorney, swiping. I'm like, oh, this looks like a very nice gentleman. Not for me. Very, very kind of almost looking very proper. All the pictures were fine. I'm like, okay, let me just look at the profile. Again, curious. Not anybody I would even interact with under any circumstance. Because I'm so good by myself. Thank God. I am so great by myself. I'm reading in the little description. I am into playful bondage. Mm. I am a dominant, seeking a submission, like submissive. I'm like, oh my God. I can show you, on a video call what that means, see if it gives you pleasure. And I'm like, the phone burst into flames again. I'm like, you're going to be my lawyer? Get the hell away from me. And again, you would see this person distinguished, whatever. And again, this isn't judging, but it's surprising. And that's the whole point of things that are being revealed or things that can be revealed. And I think, you know, we get so drawn into the surface. We look at what's going on now. We're going underneath the surface.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I took your very eloquent statements and I, you know, kind of brought it down to the gutter a little bit. But I'm making this, you know, it's a parallel point. But that's what we do on the Lois effect over here.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what we do. But Lois's energy and influence classes it up, thank God. She just sprayed, so I'm getting an image. She's taking like a virtual can of Lysol and she's like spraying me down. Shh. All right, she's funny. All right, I got you. Shh. She's spraying me down.
Oh my gosh.
Did they have children?
She has
stepchildren, right?
No. Well, she has stepchildren from her second marriage.
Okay.
You know.
See, isn't that funny?
But yeah.
I felt that. Yeah. But yeah.
She has a boy and a girl.
From her first marriage, but in her final marriage, she didn't have children.
No.
Okay, that makes sense because it's almost like, again, words I wouldn't use. She's saying like I'm like the petulant child she never had. Ha ha. And how old would she be today?
Oh, she'd be like in her early 80s.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
She's a year older than my mom. And my mom
perfect.
is 80, 81. So she'd be turning 82
okay.
this year.
That
in
makes
June.
Perfect sense. All right, yeah. So I'm like the petulant child she never had. Okay. So funny. I'm still like that with my mother. I was on the phone with her and I said, "Let me tell you something, and you can't say anything about it. When I come and visit you, whenever that's going to happen, and I'm hoping, I'm feeling, I don't know, I'm being optimistic, I'm feeling like by the end of May, okay, I'm hoping, that things in New York that I can't see my mom."
Right.
And I said, "Listen, before I come over, you're going to take 2 sponges, you're going to put them on each shoulder, and then you're going to get a mattress, you're going to put it on the floor, because I am going to knock you down. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to sob like a baby into those sponges, and you can't say a damn thing about it. I don't care how old you are, and I don't care how old I am. Too bad. And then you're going to make me a home-cooked meal. Damn it." So I've always been, I love that I still crack my mother up, because I am still that petulant child. I don't care. Nope. Too bad. "You will not say a damn thing, Missy." She's like, "Okay. You will not say anything. I will sob like a baby. I hug you. Damn it."
Well, my parents are just wanting to go visit their grandchild. You know,
they must be dying. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. My mom really wants to hold her and all the stuff. She's just
yearning.
Sort of waiting. Yes.
But during these vulnerable times, it's frustrating, of course. The baby was just born. But it's boosting their immune system to have that hope, you know, to look forward to that. But I believe that with boats, they're South Carolina, right?
Right.
I would believe with boats, states, wouldn't that be more kind of possible in the foreseeable future than most places, since things are beginning to, I don't even think South Carolina had any lockdown.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's one of the few, there's a handful of states, I think there's like 11 states, they're like, "No, we're not doing it." I think South Carolina was one of them. I think people are volunteering to do it, but so they might be able to see, they might be able to do it sooner than a lot of other places in the country. Maybe within the next couple of weeks. That would be great. They could figure out a way to do it.
Maybe. But, you know, they're being very cautious. I mean,
right.
for their health and for the health
right.
of
for everybody, of course.
For everybody.
But they might be able to find a workaround that will be more mindful than the states are being, I think, a little reckless, but more mindful than the states. But maybe they'll be able to find a compromise or something. You know, within the next month, I think. I'm being hopeful.
I'm sure something will be resolved. It's just, you know, for me, it's just a quick drive, you know, across town, and for them, it's over state lines.
It's
5 hours.
True.
It's having to stop off at probably to get gas or probably to go to the restroom. So all those things you take for granted, now you're like, "Ooh, did I prepare for that? You know,
it's a lot.
Do I really need to go?" Or
it's a lot. I understand.
And when you're that age, when you've got to go, you've got to go. And
true.
So.
Yeah, there's lots of prep. No, you're right. There's lots of thought and preparation. But yeah, I think within the next month, they're going to meet their grandchild. That's just me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think so. I'm being hopeful.
Yeah.
And also too, it's like the little energy that I'm feeling. You know, I do that sometimes. I do that. I feel a little energy sometimes. I mean, I should co-host a podcast, but I'll look into it.
You should.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so the takeaway from this show is don't put your entire foot in your mouth and post it on your dating profile.
I mean, just because you can do it doesn't mean everyone needs to know.
Don't be such a show-off. Girl, I get all kinds of afeared. Oh yeah, I'm like, ooh. No, but it's good because it's like, you know, you're so happy to be by your, like, not, I'm not by myself. I feel like, yeah, I'm on my own, not by myself. And then what's
so
go ahead.
I'm just thinking about this, you know, to his credit.
Oh, stop. No.
To his credit.
What? What?
I think it's better
because
there are going to be people who are into that.
Oh, stop it.
No, I'm serious. It takes
Girl.
All kinds. And so
okay,
I
Mother
think,
Teresa.
To think about it this way also, if is that something you'd want to know, like, on the third date? You know, like, hey.
Girl.
I think
no.
it's better that he just put it out there, and that way
Oof.
The people who are like, ooh, I'm into that, they quit, you know?
Okay.
Must be
You're
must
so
be an
nice.
Important part. Just saying. Just got to, I know, if I'm about to say the shoe fits. But, you know.
The shoe fits. The foot fits. Put it in your mouth. That's so, it's so early. Oh, God. It is so early. Oh, it is so. We already talked about putting your foot in your mouth and a lawyer looking for a submissive. All before 9:30 United States Eastern Standard Time. We are here serving the people.
Well, these are people who know what they want, so they're showing you what they want.
See, thank you for classing it up. Thank you,
thank you.
And yes.
If you're not attractive,
right.
Talk about law of attraction. You're not attracted to
law
that.
Law of attraction and knowing
you
what you want.
It, you move it along.
Dating
and
apps.
So now, you know,
there you
now
go.
You know. You,
right.
you like if you didn't know before that's not what you want, now you know.
You know it now. You know it now. And then you bring it back to that question, which, you know, my dumbass never occurs to me because I'm just like, hi, my name is Snow White and I don't know what I'm doing. A middle-aged virgin, like, what the hell? What are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Put it out there. What are you looking for? See, it all ties into everything that we talk about on this very classy podcast that we do over here for 10 years. Over here for 10 years. I'm going to put my New York accent. We're doing it over here for 10 years in the lowest effect over here. Oh, my God. That okay, yeah. I don't know what kind of tweet you're going to come up to summarize this show. I'm looking forward to it.
I'll come up with something.
Oh, girl, you always do. All right. Well, this was very entertaining and insightful. We had a little bit of everything on today's show. Oh my God. Okay. Well, get these two trashy women off the air. So, if you guys need to get a hold of us. Don't send any scary pictures. Please email, email loablend@gmail.com. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take very, very good care of yourself. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you guys. I love you, girl.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
That you like.